Psalm 33. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God. I'll try not to keep you too long. I mean that, but I have a message on my heart. The Bible said, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with the psaltery, and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, and the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike, he considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee." If correctly read, that's Psalm 33. You can be seated. Please pray with us and pray for us. Our Father, this morning I want to thank you for the privilege to open the Word of God and read it, preach it, believe it, share it. I pray, dear God, today that there would be an anointing, Lord, on the preaching of the Word of God, that there would be an anointing on the hearing of the Word of God. Lord, there's a famine in the land. Lord, it's not for bread. It's not for water. But it's for the hearing of the Word of God. I pray, Lord, for our country. Lord, there's things that I see that absolutely make me sick. But God, I know that none of this has taken you by surprise. I pray, Lord, that we would return to the foundations of our faith, to the foundations of our country. Lord, that you would spare us. Lord, we know that unless America turns, America will be judged. Lord, you never once apologized and never will to Sodom and Gomorrah. And yet, our Father, it seems like we're headed further and further down that road. Lord, folk arguing and fighting, even going into the highest court over which bathroom to use. Lord, we've lost our way. We're in trouble. And I pray, dear Father, this morning that you would encourage your people through this message to having done all to stand. Lord, you said stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Lord, we're not just free as Americans, we're free as Christians. And Lord, we pray that we would live such. Help us today. Bless our young people, our Lord. God, I hope they know how precious they are to you. Lord, I hope they know how much you desire to bless their lives. I pray, Lord, that you'll help them. Help us to be a help to each one of our people. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen and amen. I don't want to chase rabbits this morning, but you can already tell in the service there's some things that's really just rubbing me the wrong way. And I'm not going there this morning. I don't intend to do that. But I want to preach on this subject this morning. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I don't know about you, but when I pray, it's hard for me to ask God to bless our country. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, in doing so, to me anyway, it would be almost like I would be asking Him to bless sin. I'm telling you, beloved, sin is rampant on every hand. Even this weekend, instead of people celebrating our country, they're already rioting. They're already fighting in the streets. And the problem is not their guns, not their ball bats, not their rocks, and not their bricks. The problem is their heart. They don't know God. And it is the grace of the living God that it's not you and I out there throwing rocks and wanting to kill somebody, because Jesus came into our heart. Jesus saved our soul and gave us a purpose in life that this world knows nothing of. There's four things I want to call your attention to concerning a nation whose God is the Lord. The first thing I want to call your attention to in the message today is God's children. The Word of God said, rejoice in the Lord, and then it uses this phrase, O ye righteous. Beloved, there's not but one way to be made righteous in the eyes of God. That's to be born again. That's to become one of God's dear children and have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ imputed to your account. We're a saved people. And I was thinking this morning, even before having the privilege to meet Brother Kirkman and his wife, how that as I traveled for 10 years, I had the privilege to meet God's people that are scattered out all over this country. And even in other countries, beloved, I can remember going to Mexico years ago. I can remember the team. Brother Mike, you was on that team. I was wanting to take that dear brother out to eat, and he refused to do it until we came to his house. He said, you come to my house and let my mama fix a meal, then I'll go out and eat with you. The hospitality. A man that knew God, Brother Larry, a man that had the love of God shed abroad. All I'm trying to tell you is, listen, don't let your vision get too small. God's got young and scattered out all over this country. God's got young and scattered out all over the globe. There are righteous people, saved people. So we see God's children in a nation whose God is the Lord. They're saved people. The second thing I see is they're a singing people. Look in verse 2 and verse number 3. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto Him with the psaltery and with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud voice. You say, Pastor, do you believe God's people ought to sing? I believe God's people will sing. I mean, I believe they'll sing on the mountain. I believe they'll sing in the valley. I believe they'll sing everywhere in between. I believe they'll sing when the cupboards are full. I believe they'll sing when the cupboards are empty. I believe they'll sing, beloved, when the bills are paid. And they'll sing when they don't know how they're going to pay the bills. Because God comes along when He saves us and puts a new song in our heart, even praise unto our God. He picked us up out of a miry pit. He put our feet on a solid rock. He established our growings. And He put a new song in our heart, even praise unto our God. God's children. They're saved people. They're singing people. But they're scriptural people. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? How do you even know, Pastor, you're one of God's children? Right here. Look at verse number 4. The Bible said, for the word of the Lord is right. The word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. Beloved, my feelings may change every other day, but His word is still the same. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, we're God's people, a saved people, a singing people, a scriptural people, because we know that the word of the Lord is right. I hope and pray my voice won't aggravate you too bad. I'll get this whooped one of these days if it don't whoop me first. Amen. I appreciate you putting up with me. The second thing I see in the message, a nation whose God is the Lord is going to have God's children in it. We may be outnumbered, but did you know that God's children plus God makes a majority? Say amen. Listen to me, I don't want to get too political here, but you know how I am. The president said a little while back, he said, what do they think they're going to do? Are they going to get F-15s and nuclear weapons? I'm going to tell you something. The president and everybody else in that White House better realize there's someone bigger than a nuclear weapon. And there's someone bigger than a F-15. They were talking about the Second Amendment. Like we can't defend ourselves against the government. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. Listen, God can take his people and a bunch of ball bats and defend themselves against the government. But I'm going to tell you the defense we have that's bigger than the ball bat and bigger than the gun and bigger than an F-15 and bigger than a nuclear weapon, and that is the ability to pray. You need to pray. I'm telling you, beloved, this morning, God's children, if my people, God never did call on the sinner folk. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, he said, then will I hear from heaven. He said, I'll forgive their sin. Get this now. He said, I'll heal their land. Oh, dear God, we need a healing in America. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. It's marked by God's children. Secondly, it's marked by God's creation. I want to say a couple of things here. Look at verse number 5, down through verse number 9. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The Bible said the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. I'm going to make a statement. I'll see if y'all agree with me. There was a time when even sinner folks knew there was a God up there and that he had blessed our country. Even when they didn't know Christ as their Savior, beloved, listen, they knew that there was a God in heaven that had his hand on this country. And they knew that the creation, are you listening to me? They knew that there was a creation because there was a Creator. We send them off to school nowadays to learn about a Big Bang and a big ape. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, beloved, here the nation whose God is the Lord does not have a problem with creation the way that it's taught in the Word of the Living God. There was times, listen to me carefully, when sinner folks had more respect for the house of God than some of God's people do today. I'm telling you, beloved friend, the Word of God is talking about not only God's children as being a mark of the nation whose God is the Lord, but God's creation. The Bible said the earth is full of His goodness. It rains on the just and the unjust, the Bible said. And the Word of God said it's the goodness of the Lord that leads men to repentance. I believe with all of my heart, when you start going away from that, you're going to get in trouble. And we started that a long time ago. That started when I was in junior high school. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Listen, in God's creation, we don't only believe the earth is full, but we believe the earth was framed. Look what the Bible said in verse 6 and 7. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. You say, preacher, do you really believe that God spake and spake this thing? Yep, I sure do. You say, well, how come? Because the Bible said so. Amen. Somebody said, do you believe that big old fish, that big whale swallowed Jonah? I said, yes, and if the Word of God would have said Jonah swallowed that big whale, I'd have believed that. You say, Pastor, you're crazy. No, either the Word of God is true or we're all in trouble. I'm glad the Word of God is true. I'm glad I have confidence in the Word of God. We believe the earth is full. We believe the earth was framed. Look at verse 7. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let me give you this. And this is one of the great ways we're in trouble in our land. In God's creation, we believe the earth is full. The earth was framed, but we believe the earth should fear. Look what the Word of God said in verse 8. Let all the earth... Now, wait a minute. I caught something here. I'm going to get something later in the chapter. That didn't say all of God's people. It said, let all the earth. You know what the Bible said in the latter part of the book of Psalms? Let everything that hath breath. I heard something years ago. Boy, it blew my mind. There's a preacher preaching in a big way. He said, even a sinner man ought to tithe. I said, do what? He said, he's breathing God's air, drinking God's water, eating God's food, wearing God's clothes. Said, even a sinner man ought to show respect for the things of God. You think about that. The earth should fear. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Turn with me to Psalm 100 real quick. We don't turn there much unless it's Thanksgiving. But let's turn there this morning. It fits perfectly. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Here's what I wanted to get to. Know ye the Lord, that He is God. It is He that made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Ain't that good? We didn't make ourselves. Thank God He made us. Amen. And thank God He's still working on us. Amen. God's creation. It's marked by God's creation. The nation that fears the Lord. The nation that is blessed of God. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. It's marked by God's children. It's marked by God's creation. Let me give you this thirdly. The Word of God said in verse number 10, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen. I want you to see something in these two verses. To naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. Listen, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings this morning. But if you're in a movement that's taking people further and further away from the truth, you're in the wrong movement. There's a movement, and supposedly it's supposed to be promoting progress. When you're getting away from this book, you're not progressing. When you don't care if a man's a man anymore, a woman's a woman anymore, you're going the wrong direction. You're going backwards. Because this book still says, male and female created He them. I'm just telling you, we're in a mess. When people don't care what this book says about marriage, when they don't care what this book says about the home, when they don't care what this book says about the church, I'm telling you, beloved, we're not progressing. We're going in the wrong direction. And I'm telling you this. Listen to me carefully. I don't care what letter you put by the name. I said I don't care what letter. You can put an I, you can put an R, you can put a D. If you're going away from this book, you're going in the wrong direction. The Word of God's talking about here. Some counsel. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. Look at verse 11. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. We have a tremendous group of teenagers this morning in the auditorium. You know what's going to make a difference in their life? Brother Steve, they're going to have to make up their mind somewhere. They may not make it up today. But somewhere they're going to have to make up their mind whether they're going to stand underneath the counsel of the Lord or they're going to stand underneath the counsel of the heathen. You say, Pastor, they can have it both ways. Oh, where have you been? Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. If you're not gathering into my sheepfold, you're scattering abroad. I've heard all that preaching about fence straddling. There's one problem you can't find in the Bible. We want to do our best to encourage our children and our teenagers to live under the counsel of the Lord. Let God lead them. Let God guide them. Let God's word that's forever settled in heaven be the guidebook, be the guidepost in their life. Well, you say, Pastor, that'll never be popular. That may be so, but it'll be right. It's a happy day when somebody'd rather be right than popular. I said it's a happy day when somebody would rather be right than popular. Years ago, there was a young lady. There were about 10 of them. 9 of them had given themselves away. They had lost their virginity. 9 out of 10. The 10th, when they cornered her in the bathroom, they were making fun of her. They were poking fun at her. And I'll never forget when I heard this. They said that young lady finally just kind of blew up and pointed her finger and said, "You listen to me. I can be what you are anytime I want to be. But you can never be what I am again." Brother Preston, somebody had an influence in that young lady's life, and she was willing to stand there in the corner alone and live under the counsel of God. That's what we need. Some moms, some dads. It's not checking the wind to see what's popular, but checking the book to see what's right. The nation whose God is the Lord, it's marked by God's children. It's marked by God's creation. Turn with me, please. It's marked by God's counsel. Turn with me to Hebrews quickly, please. Hebrews chapter number 6. This has already been stated in Psalms, but I want to show it to you again. Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse 17. Wherein God, look here, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. You say, who is that preacher? I'll be one of them. The immutability of his counsel. He confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things in the which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entered that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You say, preacher, what are you talking about here? I'm talking about the counsel of God, how that it's immutable. What that means is, beloved, God's counsel will never change. I'm going to give you something. I'm sorry this keeps coming up in a way, but in a way, whatever's in your heart's going to come out of your mouth. I'm burdened for our young people. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. You ask enough people the same question, and somebody will give you the answer that you want to hear. You ask enough people the same question, and somebody will give you the answer that you want to hear. But if we'll ask God, the answer will always be the same. He doesn't change His mind. It's immutable. His counsel. In other words, beloved, if He had a word for Joseph like we studied about this morning, it would be the same word. If it was wrong for Joseph, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? It would be wrong for us. Even though we're generations and generations and generations, the generations have changed. The world has changed. Our country's changed. But His counsel has never changed. Brother Aaron, it never will. Never. The last thing in the message. Let's go to Proverbs before I go to the last thing. Proverbs chapter number 1. Somebody prayed for me a while ago. My throat was fixing to give completely out. Somebody prayed and God helped me. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Let me show you something here. You say, Pastor, I don't see what the big deal is about God's counsel. Let me show you how big the deal is. Let me show you how big it is. Look at verse 22 of Proverbs chapter 1. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity, and scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? I'm going to tell you something, beloved. We are living in a country where scorners are delighting in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Watch what the Bible said. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and you refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. Look at verse 25. But ye have said it not. All my, what's that next word? My counsel. It wasn't that they didn't have God's counsel. It was that they had it, looked at it. I don't like it, so I'm going to set it over here and do whatever I want to do. Let me tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. I love this statement. I heard my pastor, Brother Danny, say it the first time I ever heard it. I don't know if it was original with him or not. But you can choose your sin, but you cannot choose your consequences. Beloved friend, sin, you say, Preacher, I thought God would forgive me of my sin. He will. The Bible said if we'll confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But let me tell you something about sin. Leave scars. There's consequences. There's some of us older folks in this building. You listen to me. I'll tell you, if you laid it all out and let everybody see it, beloved, you'd understand why some of the older folks, the moms, the dads, the mamas and papas are trying to encourage you. Don't go into sin. Go away. Go away from sin. Because though we've been forgiven, there's scars that we'll carry to our grave. You say, Pastor, I don't like that kind of preaching. It's the truth whether you like it or not. The Word of God said, because I've called, you refused. I stretched out my hand. No man regarded. You said it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. God said, I'll laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then they shall call on me, but I'll not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they that hated knowledge did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. That's usually the way it goes. When a person runs upon a stump, so to speak, something that they see that they're supposed to do or not supposed to do, usually they end up setting the whole book aside. And I'm going to tell you when they'll get help, when they go back to that stump, when they go back to that place where they left off and admit to God, God, you're right and I'm wrong. That's not easy. I don't care if you've been saved 2 years or 20 years or 30 years or 40 years or 50 years. It's not easy to say, God, you're right. Not easy for a man, Brother Larry, to say to his wife, honey, you're right and I'm wrong. But it's a blessed time. I said it's a blessed time. Not easy for a wife to say to her husband or her children, honey, you're right and I'm wrong. Not easy to say to God, God, you're right, and I'm wrong. But I'm telling you, it's a blessed time. Not easy for two believers to say, you're right, and I'm wrong. Most of the time, by the time it gets there, you're both wrong. But thank God there's a God in heaven can make it right. God's children, God's creation, God's counsel. Lastly, in the message this morning, if you go back over to Psalm 33, I see something else here that is a mark of a nation whose God is the Lord. Not only God's children and God's creation and God's counsel, but God's compassion. Would you look at it with me? In verse number, I picked up on something here. There's something I've been saying for years, and it's true. We are all God's creation by our first birth. But we can only be God's children through a new birth, or that second birth, or being born again, or being saved, however you want to phrase it. And I want you to look how that is portrayed here in Psalm 33. The Bible said in verse 13, "The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men." We're all God's creation. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike and considereth all their works. You say, "Pastor, he made us all alike." No, 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 no. I'll tell you what he did. He made us all with a void that only Christ could fill. It doesn't matter if our skin color is red or yellow or white or black or something in between. Whatever color we are, whatever our background, our education, whatever our finances, every one of us without Christ have a hole in our heart, a void in our life that only Christ can fill. Watch this now. The Bible said there's no king save by the multitude. He's talking now about the whole creation. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. I believe in a strong military. I've said that from this pulpit before. I like the doctrine peace through strength. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Our country, and the Christians especially in our country, got no business putting our confidence in the military. Our confidence is to go higher than the military. It's supposed to be in God. Amen? And by the way, beloved, I believe Israel will tell you, and I believe Americans would tell you too, that's how we won a lot of wars. Our confidence wasn't in our strength. It was in His strength. Read the Bible. That's how God's people won a lot of wars, is because their confidence was in God. Now watch. Behold, look at verse 18. It gets different. The eye of the Lord. It got singular. It's upon them that fear Him. So there is an overall God looking in heaven at the whole thing. But I'm going to tell you something. Listen to. The songwriter had it right. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I don't know about you. That's a good reason to sing. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. God's compassion. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, them that hope in His mercy to deliver their soul from death, keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Can I ask a question this morning? How many's trusted in that holy name? I'm going to heaven. Not because of the name of the president, the name of the country, the name of the county, the name of the church. I'm going to heaven because of the name that's above all names. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who loved me. Gave himself for me. Had compassion in my bonds. Verse 22. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us. The Lord just spoke to my heart right there. That'd be a good prayer for America, Brother Steve. I believe it was Habakkuk. I'm not sure about that. One of the minor prophets said in wrath, remember mercy. I believe it was Habakkuk. That would be a good prayer for you and I to pray for our country. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us. Amen, Brother Lowell. Be a good prayer for me and you, Brother Lowell. Pray every morning. God, let your mercy. His compassions fail not, the Word of God said. They're new every morning. Be a good way to pray for America. I'm having a hard time asking God to bless, but I can beg Him to have mercy. Have mercy. I believe with all of my heart this morning, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You say, why do you believe that? Because this book said it. That's all we need. Amen. Let's bow for prayer this morning.